that he wasn't converted yet? No, because he still was cussing. No, because he still was lying. No, because he was still wanting to fight. Oh, I wish I had somebody here. He cut a man's ear off, but not because he was trying to cut his ear. He cut that man's ear off because he was trying to take his head off, and the man ducked, and so happened he caught his ear. So Peter was a bad man. Peter was a cussing man. He was a man that would cut you. Peter was a man that would lie to you. And guess what? He had to be what? Born again. Jesus said, when you're converted, when something changes in you, when my Holy Spirit moves upon you, then you can strengthen your brother. And until I get converted, until I have a change, I can't strengthen nobody. I can't help anybody else change, because I'm the one that needs help. I was talking to somebody yesterday, and they said, how in the world can a person who's an alcoholic pray for a person who's a drug addict? He ain't got deliverance. How he gonna tell him how to get it? He had a point. My God, okay. So he said, you cannot even what? See. You can't even identify what's God and what's not. You can't even identify what's right and what's wrong. That's why so many people agree with what's wrong today, because we're not converting people. We're just telling them, come on in and have a seat and everything going to be all right. If you watch, and I'm telling you, just pay attention now. If you watch many of the televangelists, they don't preach the spiritual gospel anymore. They make their pews turn into some type of couch for psychiatrists, and all of them have studied psychology, and they come in, they tell you how you're feeling, they tell you how bad you're feeling, and then they tell you that, you know, it's going to be all right, and they tell you, you need to talk it out, and you need to do A, B, and C, and then it'll be all right. They tell you all this stuff, but they don't tell you that you got to just trust God and ask God to change you. Let me tell you something. What if God don't change your condition? What if you still be the same? What if you're still sick and you don't get healed? What if people still hate you after you've loved them? What if all this stuff still happens to you? You need God not to change your condition, but you need him to condition you for the change. So God need to condition me, better me, bless me, help me, so that I can be able to make it through this mess. That's what David said. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I don't fear evil, because I know God is with me. Which one of us today are going to say that I know my situation hadn't changed? It's been hard. I've been broke. I've been busted. I've been through the storm and rain, but thank God he's been with me all the way. Anybody know this God I'm talking about? And the only way you can know that he's there is if you've been born again and you can't even see him. And that's the reason why, look, we can't see God, but I know he's present. I can't see what he's doing. Oh, yes. Come on and say amen. But I know that he's at work behind the scenes, because the Bible tells me, since I'm born again, that all things work together for the good of them that love God and to the called according to his purpose. Now, do I have anybody in here that can relate and say amen? Hallelujah. So he said, except he be what? Born again. Except there be a change in him. Except he be filled with the Spirit. And then a change begin to happen from above, that he become complete and fully engulfed with the Spirit of God. He said he can't even see the kingdom. The kingdom, the word kingdom, is the king's domain. He can't even see what God's dominion is. You can't even see God ruling and reigning in this situation. Lord have mercy. Okay. Nicodemus, verse 4. Nicodemus said unto him, how can the man be born when he's old? Born again when he's old. Can he enter a second time in his mother's womb and be born? Nicodemus asked a question that, you know, probably many of us wouldn't even thought of when Jesus said that. We'd be walking away scratching our heads saying, oh, I don't know how this is going to work. Guess I can't be born again. Nicodemus said, how can this be? And Jesus answered him and said, verily, I say, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom. Look what Jesus has just done here. Jesus has just changed this thing for the better. He's just changed it to let Nicodemus see. Nicodemus was concerned about going back and digging his mama up and saying, mama, I can't see heaven until you let me be born again. And Jesus said, that's not what I'm talking about, Nicodemus. And many times people are trying to understand the kingdom of God through natural things. You cannot understand the kingdom of God through natural things. And we try to make natural analogies, and that's okay sometimes to help us better understand. But if you try to understand God through nature, you won't ever understand the fullness of God. Yes, God is in nature. Yes, he flung the stars in the sky. Yes, he's in the songs of the birds. Yes, he's in every fruit of the tree. Come on and say amen. But one thing we got to understand is that even though nature is an evidence that there is a God, that means that there is a God, but that doesn't mean that we'll understand everything about God by looking at things naturally. The Bible says that the natural man can't understand the things of God. He said that the carnal mind, I wish I had somebody, that you can't, the carnal mind is enmity against God. And so if I think carnal and if I walk.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries in Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Hogan Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, County, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, County, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries. Your support.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and I just want to lift out verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 17. When you have it, say amen. Amen. Begin reading now. Amen. You may be seated. Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. My brothers and sisters, I want to talk about the liberty of the new covenant. The liberty of the new covenant. Paul is addressing this issue of both the old and the new covenant. He goes back, and if you'll go back to verse 1, reading on upward, he deals with many issues. With beginning with understanding who God is and who God is and his people, who they are and who they represent as God of the universe, what God has done is doing, especially through the believers and for those who preach with an anointing with power that comes from a spiritual entity and not the letter of the law. He deals with a whole host of things that brings us to this issue of the covenant, the new covenant, and the liberty that we experience and that we have in the new covenant. Now, when he says, now, listen, that spirit is the Lord, or the Lord is that spirit, it's important to recognize his reference point comes from Exodus 34 and verses 29 through 35. And here is the premise, the background, the basis for him saying that. When Moses had been given the Ten Commandments of God, and Moses had gone up and met with God, when Moses came back down, the countenance of his face was bright and glorious, and the people could not stand to look at him. And so Moses put a veil over his face when he talked to the people so that they could hear what he had to say. But in the presence of the Lord, he removed the veil when he was in God's presence. And so it's important for us to understand that the Old Testament and the Old Covenant was veiled because men were not able to enter into the presence of the Lord. And even those who were selected, like Moses, could not look the Lord in the face, but was given the privilege to enter into his presence. And even though the glory of God was so great just from the back of him, that it changed and transformed the countenance of Moses' face. So now he comes back and he talks to the people. They know he's been with God, but their hearts are not right. They've been doing things that were different from what they knew to be right and what they knew to be of God. And so when Moses comes and he deals with them, you know, of course he gets mad. He breaks the Ten Commandments. He has to go back up there again. And again, he has this veil on his face. But then when he gets in the presence of God, he pulls that veil off so that he can be in the presence of God. Well, again, here is what I'm trying to help you to understand. The Old Testament, the Old Covenant, is a veil that really dealt with sin, death, and hell by the law. There was nothing of saving measures in the Old Testament. You had to live in such a way that you kept all of them, or if you broke one of them, it was as if you broke all of them. And so when these, the people of God, wanted to go into the presence of God, their hearts were veiled. When they read the book of Moses, even in their hearts were veiled. In other words, they could not enter into the pure presence of God. Well, now, one of the gifts of the new covenant is that the Holy Spirit is given to the believer in the new covenant. That means now the Holy Spirit, when he says, now the Lord is that Spirit, what it's really saying is that the Lord is the Spirit also. The Spirit of God, you have the Spirit who is the Son of God, and then you have the Spirit who is the Father. Or you have God, I should say. You have the Spirit, which is God. You have the Son, which is God. And you have the Father, which is God. All three of them make one. All three of them are in one entity with three different personalities. When I was young, I had a little Swiss knife. And in that Swiss knife, it was a utilitarian knife. I could open it up, and I had a blade in that one knife. I folded it up. I pulled out the next item. It was a screwdriver. I fold that back down. I pull up the third one. It was a cork. I had a knife for cutting, a screwdriver for fixing, and a cork for unplugging. Now, being a Swiss knife, the cork was used many times for beverages because it was such a cold and Arctic place that many of the beverages had corks in them to pull out when they needed to drink. They didn't have the little tabs we pull on cans or screw tops. And so the cork was there to preserve them. And so in that one little knife, I had three different utensils, but it was all in one knife. That was like the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. All three of them are God, but they are different personalities. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And so Paul was saying, God is that Spirit, even though God is the Son and God is the Father. Yeah. But here's what he wanted us to understand. Wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, that's important because he's talking about his personal presence. His personal presence. His personal presence carries with his, carries with it his purpose, it carries with it his power, and it carries with it all the essential plans that God has for mankind. When the presence of the Lord appears, everything that God is appears with him. Now, I need you to see that the new covenant represents life, and it represents liberty, and it represents wholeness and happiness and fullness in Jesus Christ. Many times you hear me when I pray, Lord, thank you for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness in Christ Jesus. Although our declaration says life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, it stops at happiness, but real happiness cannot fully be engaged without Jesus Christ. And the new covenant gives us the privilege through Christ to have the gift of the third person, which is the Holy Spirit, who acts as the buffer between us and the presence of God. It's the Spirit of the living God. Remember in the Old Testament, the Holy Ghost was outside of the people. And in the tabernacle, when the Shekinah glory would come down, the place would be filled with smoke. What was the purpose for that? Because when God's presence came into the place, the smoke filled the place because the people couldn't stand to look at the presence of God. So the smoke served as a buffer, as a veil to keep them from looking at God, because God is such a holy God that if anything unholy looked at him, it would die instantly. And so the smoke was a form of the Holy Spirit on the outside. But now in the new covenant, the Holy Spirit is a gift who resides on the inside. And so now, because of the Holy Spirit, who is God, we have the ability to have what he brings to the table in its fullness. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, in other words, where God's presence is, everything you have need is in that place. See, that's why I don't like being in a cold church, in a dead church, in a church where the Spirit of the Lord isn't, because when the Spirit of the Lord is not there, you can't expect to get no help from the helper who's there to do what God desires to do through the believer who is trusting in this new covenant that's been made by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Everything that we have need of in this earth realm, in both the natural and the supernatural, have been provided in this new covenant with new and better benefits. And so that means, listen, wherever he is, that says something to me. That says when I am a covenant member of Jesus Christ, that I need to know that he's everywhere. And because he's everywhere, why? Because he is a spirit. John 4:24, God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So wherever I worship him in spirit and in truth, he's there. And when he's there, he hears my prayer and he answers my prayer. He does what I need him to do wherever I'm in. What if I'm in the courthouse? Wherever the Spirit of the Lord is. You say, well, wherever it is, well, he's not in church. Yeah, but he's in me. And if I'm in the courthouse and he's in me, that's where he is. And if I need help in the courthouse, how many of you know that he is our advocate? That he's got the power to conquer, change, and control every condition. What if I'm in the hospital in surgery? He's on the inside of me. So if I say, God, guide the doctor's hands and take care of those who are taking care of me, that they would move and minister in a way that would foster healing in my body. He's right there to make sure that they do it. Wherever the Spirit of the Lord is. And if he's on the inside of me, that means wherever I go. Yeah. He went before me. He's behind me. He's on the side of me. He's above me. He's beneath me. But what I rejoice the most about is he's on the inside of me. And he is there to evoke every blessing that I stand in need of. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, here is that last part. There is liberty. What does liberty in this sense mean? It means access. Wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, listen, there is access to the blessings of God, to the benefits of God. You have access to the presence of God. You have access to the power of God. You have access to the purpose of God. And my brothers and sisters, when you know God's purpose for your life, you know that no matter what's going on in your life, God is working it out for your better good. And we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to what? His purpose. Listen, we don't decide God's purpose. We discover God's purpose. And some of you are not where you ought to be right now because you've not been in his presence long enough to discover his presence in his purpose for your life. You only discover that in his presence. That's why it's so important for you to be in the presence of the Lord. Because he reveals to you the revelations of your life and the purpose he has planned for your life. Listen, I don't care who you are. Small, great, large, whatever you are, you are purposed to be here. And we wander aimlessly when we don't know our purpose. But when we know our purpose, the devil in hell can't change us from our purpose. We may rise sometime, we may fall sometime, but we know how to call on God, who will pick us back up and clean us off and continue us on the road to our purpose. When you know what God is doing in your life, so many of us think of liberty as excess rather than access. You know, I hear some people sometime, and I want to take a pastoral privilege here to straighten out a falsehood here. When people, the Bible says, let all things be done decently and in order. God is an orderly God. Time is ordered and structured by God. When we learn that we are on God's time schedule, that we are to honor God in every moment that God has given us life, and when we are given an assignment with a time limit on it, that God will honor the time restraint for the message he has given to us. Excess says when the Spirit comes, time restraints are dismissed. Show me that in the Bible. Show me that in the Bible. Because here's what you need to know. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighted in his way. Now, you've got to understand that if God says this or that, then you've got to do it. God says what he means, and he means what he says. If God says destroy everything, he means everything. He don't mean take the best of it and hold it to the side and put it off for later or for safekeeping or to dedicate it to God. If he says take it out, then take it all out. You don't change the word of God. You don't change the will of God. You don't change what God has ordered or ordained. You honor it and operate within it. Let me say this to you. If you can't say what God said, you ain't saying what God said. And no amount of time is going to make you say what God has said when God ain't said it.
All right.
What it says is you're not connected to him by the Spirit. Because he honors what is set in place. God honors government. God honors order. God honors rule. Obey them that have the rule over you. Listen to me well. Those who cannot follow orders generally will not be blessed and utilized for God's glory. Listen to me well. If people don't understand that God honors structure, whatever God is going to say, he's going to say it within the confines of that time that he's given you to say it. Why? Because if that weren't